Look at the stare of the champion against the challenger. The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
He puts a left hook again. Jacks the Josh Smith. He's on roller skates and he comes back down. Oh! And down goes Smith. What a knockout. Mamma mia.
This is InTheFight.net's In The Fight show on Sportinarium Radio. Talking MMA, pro wrestling, and boxing. Follow the show on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, at ITF Show. And now from Philadelphia, Doc Brett, In The Fight.
Oh my God!
Welcome back to InTheFight.net, In The Fight show on Sportinarium Radio, at Sportinarium on all social media. We are glad to be broadcasting live in the United States, the UK, really the world, because the internet is worldwide. Unless you're censored in a place like China or wherever else. So it happens. They censor.
Going political really early.
I'm not going political. I have no political whatever. They censor the internet. What do you want from me?
Technically, aren't we even beyond the world? Because, I mean, if like the guys on the space station wanted to listen to us, they could.
Do you think they have a Wi-Fi signal up there?
I would hope so.
So we are... We are the universe. We are the universe. I am Mike. That is Brett. This is In The Fight show, presented, as always, by Michael's Glass Company, 215-338-3293 in the Philadelphia area. Follow us on social at ITF Show. Buy our merch at TKOstore.com. TEEKOstore.com. Let's get right to this thing real quick. We were going to talk normal stuff, right? Not tough enough. The Ultimate Fighter, the upcoming events as far as previewing Bellator and UFC on ESPN, UFC Fight Night, UFC Vegas, call it whatever you will, Rage in the Cage. However, weird shit has been happening in the world of combat sports over the past couple days. So let's kind of go about this in a little bit of order, although it kind of all came at once. Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury have their press conference, which turns into a staring contest.
Yeah.
For 5 minutes.
Very strange. Very strange.
What is going on here?
So, I mean, look, you know how I've since you and I started watching MMA, I always watch the weigh-ins. And occasionally you'll have, like, the two guys who... when Dana White squares them off, they'll start staring at one another, and Dana White has to kind of say, like, okay, time to go to the back. Like, that kind of intensity is cool, but it lasts maybe 30 seconds, 45 seconds. This was 5 minutes of weirdness. Think about, it took Mike Tyson, I'm not saying we should all emulate Mike Tyson, but Mike Tyson and Lennox Lewis squared off. They saw each other, and they literally went right for each other, and you know, Mike Tyson started biting people like it was Austin Powers, you know, with Dr. Evil on the show. But this is the strange. I don't know how this sells tickets because people are already disappointed that this has interrupted Fury versus Joshua. So, you know, throw a chair. I don't know.
Break out into rock.
Make a lewd gesture. I don't know. Something.
Yeah. Go rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Something. Don't just stand there.
Yeah,
It was
something. I saw it happening as it was going on, following on social media. I was on at ITF Show on our Twitter, following everything that was going on, and I'm like, huh, hey, this is interesting here. Okay.
Someone needs to make a edited version of this stare down using like Mauro Ranallo's play call for or commentary of a fight. Or Robin Black needs to do a breakdown of this. Think.
Yeah, so I don't know how this is going to sell pay-per-views. I don't know what the thought process here was. Maybe, I don't know. That's why it's boxing, I guess.
Tyson, the crazy thing is, once again, Tyson Fury technically won because Deontay Wilder walked out first. If you're going to commit to 5 minutes... then you don't move.
Wasn't there a Seinfeld episode with a staring contest, or am I making that up?
There may have been. I have to think about that. It's obviously not one of the more... maybe early on.
There was a recent staring contest in Major League Baseball. It was the Mets and I forget whoever else. So Tommy Bryce might be able to chime in. Tommy Bryce and Sports Report here on Sportinarium, where two players were in the dugout, like after everybody, you know, you're doing the pregame stuff, where they just kind of stood, they leaned up on the rails and they just stared at each other from across dugout to dugout. And the crowd caught into it and they were getting into it. And they were doing it in fun, obviously. But I forget who won. But yeah, staring contest at an MMA, at a boxing weigh-in when you're trying to promote a big fight that people don't want to see.
Yeah, look, it's still gonna do a really good pay-per-view buy number because it still is Tyson Fury. But again, if you're going to stay there for 5 minutes, why not just, you know, if I'm Deontay Wilder, why are you moving? You got to at least win this.
You
got
to buy. You've been
eating a lot of L's lately.
Yeah, you're going to lose the fight. You lost another one. Let's talk about losing things. Floyd Mayweather has lost a few things. I feel like I've heard this story before. Floyd Mayweather's house was broken into. A bunch of stuff was stolen. Floyd took to his Instagram. He is offering $100,000 in rewards for anyone. I'm guessing it's with knowledge leading to an arrest.
I would think so.
I mean, I'll call him up and say, hey, I know what happened. Someone stole your stuff. Give me the $100K. But I don't think that's going to work.
I would be like, it's the big show, damn it. No, I don't understand.
Maybe it was. Man, he's going to get a lot of shit stolen. Took his hat, took his stuff. Yeah.
Poor guy. Oh, you think Logan Paul was in on this and Jake Paul?
I'm not going to say the Paul brothers broke in or anything like that under the cover of
They got life. Their own money. They don't need his money.
Yeah, they don't need his money.
Yeah. It is a little strange, though. You think the amount of money he has, he's really shitty security. Particularly for a guy who walks around with like massive amounts of cash.
I feel like this has happened to him before. I could be wrong.
I haven't looked it up on Google to confirm, but I do feel like this has happened before.
Yeah, so Floyd Mayweather broken into. He has offered a $100,000 reward. So those of you who are listening out in the universe, Mars, Saturn, Uranus, you know, if you're in Uranus and you're listening to this, I don't know what to tell you. Reach out to Floyd and you'll get $100K.
Yeah.
We got major news on one of the MMA goats. Khabib is coming back to the pitch. Maybe.
Yay.
Why?
I guess that's good for soccer fans.
He's a soccer guy. So those who don't know, Khabib Nurmagomedov has decided that he is going to be a soccer player, I guess. It was his first love. He did say it was his first love. And there are now rumors that he is going to become the next Pele.
God bless. You know, I guess it's a nice thing to be able to just go after, like, your first loves, like, whatever your passions were when you were a child, I guess, you know, if you have the ability to do so. It's what they really should create. I don't know if you have seen on Anatomy of a Fighter who followed around Khabib, the Dagestani version of basketball is awesome. It's a mix. First off, there's no dribbling. It's sort of tackle football, but you have to score a basket. It's great. All these wrestlers involved. It's fantastic.
I'm sure the Dagestanis could roll into South Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and lay a whooping on the Sixers. You know, everybody is laying a whooping on the Sixers right now. Bunch of gutless cowards they are. Ben Simmons, you can kiss my ass. I don't want to see you in South Philadelphia anymore. Learn how to shoot a goddamn basket. You were up 26 points, you sons of bitches. Twice you've blown leads. You are the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. You are supposed to win. You're supposed to go to championships. Here I am on a fight show talking about the Sixers blowing a lead all because the Dagestanis play some mutated game of hoops.
So I guess while we're going down this road, did I ever tell you that I once shared a long elevator ride with the Philadelphia Sixers head coach?
Which one? Doc Rivers?
Yeah.
Where was this?
This was in South Carolina when he was a New York Knick. I was attending my cousin's wedding, And I knew that the Knicks were hanging out there. And as a Knicks fan, I, myself and my cousins spent the entire night looking for them. So they came back. I helped Charles, myself and my cousin helped Charles Oakley find the Milky Ways in the little store downstairs. Then I was on the elevator with my cousin and my grandmother, neither of whom were wearing shoes. I don't remember why. And my grandmother, who was a huge sports fan, started having a whole conversation with Doc Rivers, who was very nice. I was very confused why this older lady was, you know, pouring out stats and breaking down his game. But nevertheless, very nice guy.
She, I hope, hopefully she told him, hey, in 30 years, you need to get Ben Simmons off the goddamn court.
Yeah, she definitely wouldn't have been talking about the Philadelphia Sixers. But nevertheless, he was a nice guy. And yes, your Sixers are really choking. It's frustrating to watch, and I'm not even a fan.
It's brutal. That's for another show. I'm sure people you know are going to make fun of it. They should, because I would. It's horrible. They can all just take to the Betsy Ross. Anyway, so Khabib has had offers here. Is there anything substantial? Do we know, or is this just rumor and innuendo?
I think right now it's just rumor and innuendo because none of the clubs that have offered have come forward saying we've offered Khabib. And again, I also would like to say, I don't know the level of his play. So, I mean, are these just like local Dagestani clubs or clubs, you know, in that region? Or are we talking like, I don't think we're talking Real Madrid here.
No, I can't imagine that we are talking Real Madrid. I can imagine a MLS team maybe being interested. No, that's still a higher level of play. I would be interested to see it, though. He could do a whole thing showing off his skills, and it would draw people. They could put that on pay-per-view. Maybe Triller will get involved in that, and they can put that on pay-per-view since they have everything else.
I'd like to see him. I want to know what happened to the bear that he used to wrestle when he was a kid. Maybe the bear, still friends.
Do you think the bear plays goalie?
I wonder if they're still friends.
How long do bears live?
I thought they live a while.
So maybe they are. Maybe it's like a pet.
Yeah.
Speaking of Triller, so Triller, I guess, has been having some issues with their pay-per-views. They are now putting out a service. I don't know if you saw this. $29.99 a month will get you access to all to everything, to all of their shows. So they had on their live music pay-per-views, live events, obviously their boxing and so on.
Yeah.
Initial thought was, you know, that's not a bad deal, but what am I getting for it? A fight every couple of months? Obviously, Teofimo Lopez, George Kambosos Jr. was supposed to be on Triller, canceled this week. Teofimo Lopez testing positive for COVID, hopefully, symptomatically too. Hopefully that he's okay. Would you buy that? Would you buy into that? Did you just purchase it? I saw you looking at your phone.
No, I was not. I was checking to see something with respect to Triller. Would I buy just for $29.99 the ability to access whatever Triller puts out every month? No.
Yes. No. Okay. No. Now I'm interested in seeing if
I feel like at some point it's going to devolve into live porn events.
Probably, which you can get for free.
No.
allegedly $29.99 a month. So I'm interested. I didn't look too far into it other than reading it. I read it on Sportico that they're offering this. I wonder if they're going to make you lock into 3 months or something like that, right?
Because
if it's me, I'm like, all right, well, $29.99 a month. I'll sign up for it the day before a fight and then cancel it so that I can watch the fight for $29.99 versus whatever they're charging.
Well, maybe they did, and now you've just outed the whole scam, so... Good job.
I would love to out Triller every time.
No, you wouldn't be outing Triller. You'd be screwing over our fans who like you. Yeah. Yeah.
I good apologize. Job, everybody. Ah, damn it. I apologize. You should still go buy t-shirts at teekostore.com. Go to teekostore.com. Find In The Fight shirts and buy some. Also, if you were in the mainline area of Philadelphia, I highly suggest The Paul's Table, a modern Italian steakhouse in the heart of the main line, 7 East Lancaster Avenue, in the heart of Ardmore. ThePaulsTable.com for reservations, happy hour, dinner daily, We love it there. Brett, some fights have been made. Why don't you run us through some of the major fight announcements?
Yeah, so there were four big fights made, two for UFC 265, two for UFC 266. For UFC 265, we have two top welterweights going at it, Vicente Luque versus Michael Chiesa. Really good fight. I think the key there will be, can Chiesa survive on the feet and get Luque to the ground? Then we have a very good rematch at UFC women's strawweight, Angela Hill versus Tisha Torres. Basically, anytime Angela Hill's in a fight, it's a really good fight. So I'm psyched for that. UFC 266, which is taking place September 25th. Jairzinho Big Boy Rozenstruik is taking on Curtis Razor Blades. And Marlon Moraes is taking on Merab Dvalishvili. I kind of wish, Mike, that you had taken that one because I'd like to see where you'd have gone with the name. But even though we've mentioned Merab a lot.
No, I'm good with Merab Dvalishvili.
Really good bantamweight fight, though. So those are four solid fights. Definitely, you know, main card-worthy fights. And then also, Bellator has confirmed that the, Mike, this will get you excited, the end of the Grand Prix, the featherweight Grand Prix, the finals are taking place between Patricio Pitbull and AJ McKee, taking place at the Forum in Inglewood. So
I didn't realize the Forum, when I saw the post on our Instagram at ITF show, go to GL Stan show too, but that's a different thing. That's football. Yeah. I didn't realize the Forum was still there. I thought the Forum was sold to a church and then like knocked down.
I think you're thinking of some other arena. Because John Jones, Gustafson 2, where Amanda Nunes beat Cyborg, was in the – that they moved that to the Forum the week of the fight because of John Jones's picogram issues. And they've had – that's where Tito Chuck 3, which got all of 20,000 buys. I was one of them. I know. I'm a sucker for all these really bad events, by the way. I bought Yama, Tito Chuck 3, and Logan Paul – Floyd Mayweather. That's I should get an award for that.
Wasn't there a fight organization? They were trying to become in big. This is probably going back 10, 12 years. They were trying to compete with the UFC. Didn't they run the Forum and only have like 1,500 people in attendance? I'm trying to think.
Yes, we watched it.
Yeah, I know. What was it?
WFA?
Because it was the
main event. It was Boss Rudin against Ruben Warpath Valerio.
That's right.
Machida was on it, and the main event was Rampage against Matt Lindland.
That's right.
And Matt Lindland got screwed.
Yeah, they only had 1,500 people there. I could have sworn
it was very dark in the audience.
It was. It was like, oh, okay. We have to figure this out. Someone call someone at WCW and ask them how to turn down the lights to the crowd so that you don't see the empty seats.
Yeah, hold on. I'm looking up the name of it as we speak.
I just could have sworn the Forum.
WFA.
Okay.
And World Fighting Association, the King of the Streets.
That's right. Who was on that card? What was that card?
I'm bringing up the card as we speak. It was Quinn Jackson against Matt Lindland, Boss Rudin against Warpath, Lyoto Machida defeated Vernon Tiger White, Jason Miller, Mayhem Miller, who just got out of prison, supposedly he's doing okay right now, defeated Lodan Sinkaid of Ultimate Fighter 1, who's since passed away. Ivan Salivary defeated Art Santor, Rico Rodriguez, former UFC heavyweight champ, against beat Ron Waterman, H2O Waterman.
I love Ron Waterman.
Jesus Strength.
He could have been something in wrestling.
Well, yeah. And then Razor Rob McCullough beat Harris Sarmiento. Marvin the Beastman Eastman beat Jorge Oliveira. And Martin Kampman defeated Edwin Aguilar. I got to tell you, it's not a bad card.
No, you're reading this off, and I'm thinking, that's a decent card right there.
And commentary was Bill Goldberg and Barry Tompkins of HBO Boxing and Rocky IV.
Yeah, it was. When did this take place?
This took place July 22nd, 2006. We're going to have the 15th anniversary coming up. Maybe we'll watch it or something.
We should watch it. So that's interesting.
By the way, it's on the UFC Fight Pass. We will watch it then.
So that's not a bad card. And was this Rampage's return to the United States from Pride.
I'll tell you that in a moment. I think it was. Yes. Good job. Yeah.
So that would be, to me, that's a solid card. You have Rampage Jackson coming back to the U.S. from Pride, where he was obviously a huge star. Why did that do so poorly? I don't get it.
I don't know. I also don't understand how Rampage didn't go straight to the UFC, considering the UFC purchased Pride.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to rack my brain. Was he not under Pride contract at the time?
I guess. And then they quickly bought out the WFA.
We have a whole show now. We can do this whole thing. This will be great. This will be good. Anyway, I thought the forum was gone. I thought that a mega church bought it.
No, but now it's technically in the same area as SoFi Stadium. So there's that whole development.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. We'll get to SoFi Stadium somewhere down the line. WrestleMania. Look, I'm excited for Bellator for their featherweight championship and the Grand Prix final. I love a good final. I hope you love a final. I hope they pack the place. They should get Nobuhito Takada to come out in a diaper and bang the drum.
That's Pride.
I know, but it's a Grand Prix. That's when I think of Grand Prix, I think of Pride.
Okay.
And I think they should do a little bit of a tribute.
Okay, even though technically UFC owns Pride.
Nobody owns Nobuhito Takada, though. Bank on that. Let me tell you, speaking of Bellator, news, it's on the website, it's on InTheFight.net. Bobby Lashley, still under Bellator contract.
Yeah, well, I guess they could set him up with a beat. I mean, considering he's still currently the champion.
As of right now, as of Thursday, he's still the WWE champion. That would be kind of cool if you have the WWE champion. And I don't know if WWE would allow it because it's not Brock Lesnar. But it would, you know, it would be cool for Bellator to say, hey, here's our fighter, 15-2 Bobby Lashley, and he is holding the WWE championship right there. Heavyweight.
You know, it's a very interesting fight is him against a former WWE competitor, now AEW competitor.
Jay Hager. Oh, that would be good. See,
that would be interesting. If this cross WWE versus AEW in Bellator.
See, Scott Coker
loves that.
We're gonna cut this audio out, make a whole thing. We're gonna send it to you. Front row tickets, press pass. We want press passes. Press passes.
Tony Khan would do it. Vince McMahon would never allow it.
Tony Khan would do it in a heartbeat. We're gonna get to Tony Khan a little bit later if we have some time.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon
would never allow it.
No, he would not, because he's not forward. He's not a forward-thinking individual anymore. I think Triple H might.
I don't know. I think Vince McMahon's a gelding.
We'll get to that. You got a long list of gelding. I wouldn't put Vince McMahon.
I have a gelding club.
Yeah, I don't envision Eli Manning and Vince McMahon as geldings.
No, Eli Manning just ran like a gelding.
Oh, he's not a gelding. He just ran like one.
No, he had balls. He just ran. He had a weird run. He ran like a baby deer.
Is Daniel Jones a gelding?
No, he just trips over the 10-yard line.
From the 12, Jones keeps, gets a block, takes off, and he is gone. Trying to stay upright, and he trips. Absolutely all alone, and he trips.
You never know. You never know.
This show has gone off the rails, by the way.
It has gone off the rails. You never know what you're going to get on this show. It's usually combat sports, but we're throwing a little bit of everything at you today. Let's get to the Ultimate Fighter. Team Ortega once again knocks off Team Volkanovski's number one pick. This time in middleweight, Trey Sean Gore defeats Ryder Newman. Give me your breakdown of this. Look, to me, I think I was expecting more from the return of the Ultimate Fighter. It's kind of, I don't want to say it's boring me already. I'm enjoying it for what it is, but I expected more.
They literally kept the exact same format. That's the part that I thought they would have reimagined how you do each episode, and it's exactly the same. That's the part that's a little disappointing. I was one of the few people, I guess, I mean, I could watch it and sort of fast forward a little bit. look, it's interesting to see these guys where they come from. So Ryder Newman is actually from Vegas originally, trains out of Extreme Couture. Trayshawn Gore is a really sad story. You know, like his father, he himself went to juvenile detention and he got out. He was literally cleaning toilets at a local Gracie Jiu-Jitsu school. That's how he sort of just, you know, was able to turn his life around. And he trains out of Team ATT in Atlanta, which is the school led by Douglas and Diego Lima. And much more of a striker. It was, you know, it's so strange too. You get these guys who they know they're going to fight each other and they're living in the same house. I can't imagine. I don't necessarily have to hate someone I'm going to fight, but I don't necessarily want to break bread with them. And these two, the night before their fight, had like this really long conversation about their backgrounds and Trayshawn Gore. I think it was a way for Gore to really build himself up. Like, look, you haven't been through what I've been through. I mean, at times he was kind of homeless or living out of his car. And he was just talking about, you know, how difficult his life was. So anyways, you know, that's sort of the typical format for the Ultimate Fighter. Then you get to the fight and Gore started out, he's much more of the striker, landed some very good leg kicks, both to the thigh, to the calf. And Ryder Newman, just for whatever reason, he was a national high school champion wrestler. He then went on to be a Division I wrestler of West Virginia. Didn't go in for any takedowns, like at all. I don't, whether he thought he could knock him out, maybe his leg was compromised. So Gore was able to, you know, closely outstrike him for both rounds, and he's moving forward. So Ortega knocked out both of Volkanovski's top picks. That's not a good look.
No, it is not. It is not a good look. It's making guy get. It makes for an interesting angle, I guess. Right, and that's where you could really portray the coaches against each other if you want. Next week on the show, Volkanovski's pick, Dustin Lambros, will face Vince Murdoch, not to be confused with Trevor Murdoch or Dirty Dick Murdoch. And this is a bantamweight fight. They definitely don't have the same size as the Murdochs. So you have here on our show sheet.
Yes.
Lambros has the worst gimmick and promo. So have at it.
So you know how they go to the dark room and they have the interviews, the fighters? He goes, yeah, he brings out a golf glove. Right. He says, yeah, you know, I always carry with me my golf glove because I like to tee off on people. Wait, you're right there. You're choking up. I mean, how bad is that?
Not everybody can just go out and cut a promo. That sounds like something Vince McMahon would do.
It was technically more a gimmick than a promo because he said he does this for all his fights.
Oh,
it's right. Kept with him like one of those foot joy gloves.
So he is channeling his inner Kerwin White.
Sure.
You remember Kerwin White when they made Chavo Guerrero a white guy?
Yes, I remember
that. Chavo Guerrero from one of the greatest luchador families in history of Mexican wrestling. They made him a white golfer.
No, this is even worse, though, because that was like a comedic thing. This is more like, I'm going to tee off on you. So it's not even like he was Happy Gilmore.
He's got to work for the promo guy.
He needs to get rid of the glove and just worry about winning. I'm definitely rooting for the other guy.
Let's get to Professional Fight League 5. This is going to be taking place this evening. So this is in real time as you are listening to this program. We are previewing this event. If you're listening to this in a podcast form, it has already occurred. Let's start in the main event. This is pretty solid, man. Rory McDonald versus Gleison Tibau. And when I say it is solid, I mean as far as name value to the fans who, if you're flipping through and hopefully not watching college track and field being pushing the show back again, that's a solid main event.
Well, you know, I would make the argument that if you had an MMA fan who stopped watching MMA 7 years ago, that this whole fight card, actually has more name value than Saturday's UFC fight card, technically.
I would agree with you.
Yeah. So, Rory McDonald, one of the most talented welterweights in the world, and, you know, was within literally 4 minutes of winning the welterweight championship at UFC 189 when he lost to Robbie Lawler, one of the greatest fights of all time. His nose was absolutely shattered. Rory McDonald's a guy who I think you could say his game, I think, quickly declined because of the amount of damage he sustained in some of these epic fights he had. And now he's sort of what he's doing fighting the PFL, it makes sense. He's fighting at a lower level a little bit, and he's taking on guys who are either older in the tooth, like a Gleison Tebow, or young up-and-comers. So he's going to do well. Will probably end up winning this season for the welterweights, get $1 million. Gleison Tebow, the thing always with him is I would look at him and be like, how on earth is this guy making 170 pounds? Because he used to make 155. He was just yoked out of his mind. And I can't imagine, there's a lot of interesting people used to argue as soon as USADA came in, it was the end of Gleison Tebow. Gleison Tebow, who famously almost took a round from Khabib Nurmagomedov back in the day. A solid fighter. I obviously will favor Rory in this fight. Look for him to take him down. At some point, submit him. Rory, he still has the talent. I think his body physically can't sustain the same kind of damage that it once did.
But a nice main event nonetheless. And I agree with you. I mean, if you haven't watched it in 7 to 10 years, you're walking right in. Let's go other notable fights here on the main card. Cesar Ferreira versus Chris Camozzi. Let's talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah, you talk about the Ultimate Fighter. So Cesar Ferreira was the finalist in the first Ultimate Fighter Brazil. And Chris Camozzi, he was definitely an Ultimate Fighter competitor. I don't remember which. I mean, the seasons, some of those seasons in the middle there kind of blended. But he was an Ultimate Fighter guy as well. Cesar Ferreira, he can never figure out which weight class to fight in. And I think his nickname was Mutanch, which is, I think, mutant. And he was Vitor Belfort's guy. His problem is he has a glass chin. So Camozzi can hit it, it will be over. Camozzi, though, is more of a grinded out kind of wrestling type. Nevertheless, should be a good fight, because when Ferreira is on and you don't hit his chin, he can have some very cool moments too inside the cage. So it's definitely going to be an action-packed fight.
This undercard, which is kicking off right now as we are speaking, it's 5:30 Eastern on ESPN Plus. It's interesting. It's a great card. I think I know the format, the season, and all that stuff. It's Tom Lawler, Jordan Young is getting ready to go out. You have the New Japan Pro Wrestling, MLW, former MLW world champion, Tom Lawler. I hope he brings the belt. I mean, we don't have it on right now. I should have put it on to see if he does, but I hope he brings out the open weight title.
That would be very cool. Knowing him, he's had some of the most memorable entrances in UFC history. He's done the Hulk Hogan. He's done the Art Jimerson. He's done the not Don Fry. Former NWA champion, Dan Severn.
Dan the B. Severn.
Yes. And he's also done the Just Bleed. By the way, remember the famous Just Bleed guy from the early, early days of the UFC? He was in a UFC preview, raging, and it had on he painted on his chest, Just Bleed. They found that guy. Yeah. He's like a 50-year-old accountant who no longer watches MMA.
That's great.
Yeah. So, we all get older, but he should check out the show. Nevertheless, it's honestly, I think some of these fights, frankly, deserve to be on the main card. I mean, talk about
this preliminary card deserves to be on the main card.
Yeah. Particularly, Antonio Carlos Jr. is known as Shoeface, which is, got to tell you, not a great nickname. Also definitely says something about your face, against Vinny Magalhaes. Granted, I would love to see these two just in a straight jiu-jitsu champ. These are two world champion jiu-jitsu competitors who, you know, when pressed can crack. So usually every time you have two champion jiu-jitsu guys, they usually end up just standing on the feet and just swinging wildly. So that's going to be entertaining. Curtis Milliner is looking to rebound against Magomed Karimov, which is also one of the greatest names of all time. It's just a solid.
I had that one down pat. I've been practicing it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Well, so, you'll talk about the recap and the weigh-in.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's going to be, it's just a really solid name valued PFL card. I mean, you'll get PFL undercards that may not necessarily have the name value where you'll have great fights. But this one also has name value. So a lot of spillover fans from the UFC should be tuning into this.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where I think it goes. 9 o'clock main card, ESPN 2. This is where you get eyeballs when you see guys like this.
Yeah.
And I get the PFL format, and I actually appreciate it. They've been putting on some great fights, but this would be a good opportunity to get more of your casual MMA fan to tune in. That's all I'm saying. And now I'm interested with the relationship between ESPN and the UFC. And you might not be able to answer this, and I haven't researched it. Could ESPN use the likeness of these guys when they were in the UFC to say, these guys are fighting on PFL on Thursday night? I don't know if they can or they can't.
I don't think they can, because I don't think ESPN owns the rights to the UFC library. They essentially like rent out things they need to make promos or whatever, but they don't have unfettered access to it.
Makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's talk UFC and ESPN. UFC Vegas 29, UFC on ESPN Fight Night, UFC on ESPN 674, whatever this is chronologically. Danny Ige versus the Korean Zombie. You mentioned it. You actually thought this PFL card might be better overall than Fight Night. So let's break it down a little bit.
Yeah, well, I think it has – I wouldn't say better. Like, and I'm not – yeah, I know we just spent the last several minutes touting it. I'm not saying it's bad. I think it has more name value of established veterans than, say, this UFC Vegas card. So, obviously, though, we get to the – to me, Korean Zombie is one of my favorite fighters. The guy is never in a bad fight, whether he's winning or losing. There's a reason he has earned the nickname, the Korean Zombie. I mean, going back to his wars with Leonard Garcia in the WEC – fight with Yair Rodriguez, one of the greatest fights of all time. Now he's fighting Dan Ige, who's really on a tear lately. I remember Dan Ige's last fight, I think it lasted all of like 10 or 15 seconds. So this should be really interesting. You know, Chan Sung Jung is not really great at anything, but he is good at a lot of different things. You know, but Dan Ige, very strong. I wonder if he is going... The thing is, it's tough to just knock out Chan Sung Jung. So, whereas Dan Ige has been on a tear knocking people out, you know, it's very difficult to kill a zombie. So, that's why it's just going to be a really interesting back-and-forth fight. I think that they're both, you know, you're going to have really good grappling exchanges. You're going to have good transitions, good striking exchanges. This could be one of the better fights of the last several months. That's my guess for it. Obviously, you'll have to wait for my pick on it.
Brett's pick will come out on social media and in the fight.net before the fight card with the fancy circles on Saturday. That's in the fight.net at ITF show on all social. Other notable fights on the main card. Alexei Oleniak, Sergey Spivak. Let's talk that one through for a little bit.
Yeah, you know, look, I think this isn't, you know, necessarily a consequential heavyweight fight, meaning that I don't see the winner ever becoming a heavyweight champion or even a title contender, but nevertheless, a fun fight. Alexei Oleniak is just one of those guys who just scraps at the age. I mean, he's like 43, 44. And he's the only guy who is a threat to submit you if he is himself is mounted. And he just has this very fascinating submission game. Sergey Spivak is a guy who likes to bang. So, again, should be interesting.
Marlon Vera, Davey Grant.
Marlon Vera is, you know, Chito Vera, just a guy who I really enjoy watching. We saw him. I don't care what Sugar Sean O'Malley says. Marlon Vera beat him fair and square, you know, hurt his leg. It wasn't a fluke injury or anything like that. Marlon Vera is as tough as they come and as well-rounded as they come. Davey Grant, I believe, was the Ultimate Fighter either champion or finalist on the Ronda Rousey-Misha Tate season. So it's going back a ways. Tough. So UK fans obviously are much more familiar with him. Tough English guy. Englishman, excuse me. I forget where in England he is from, but really good fighter. Very interesting because, again, I think this is going to be one of those fights where it's competitive in all the different components of MMA. So it's going to be a very good fight.
Matt Brown and Diego Lima. That rounds out our main card portion of the show.
Yeah, look, Matt Brown is just a terminator. The question is, how much does Matt Brown have left in the tank? I mean, he's been in absolute wars. And Diego Lima, who is the younger brother of former welterweight, Bellator welterweight champion Douglas Lima, started out his UFC career, was struggling, was actually cut at one point, brought back. He recently lost to Bilal Muhammad, but other than that, he has steadily progressed. So it's interesting. You have one fighter who's clearly on the decline, one fighter who is more ascending. It's interesting to see where they're going to stack up. I like both fighters a lot. Both fighters can crack. So it's really how much gas is left in the tank of Brown. And for Lima, where is he on his ascension? Very interesting fight.
Anything on the undercard, the prelims, have you, chomping at the bit, so to speak?
Yeah, so I really like this one female competitor, strawweight fighter, Verna Jandiroba. And she is just very interesting. She is a flyweight. My apologies. So, you know, she is a top jiu-jitsu competitor. And I think I want to see recently lost to Mackenzie Dern. I want to see if she's able to turn it around. If she could develop some semblance of a striking game, I think she could quickly rise up through the ranks. She's taking on Kanako Murata. I think this should be a good bounce-back fight for her. Chaos Williams is a guy who, like his name suggests, there's always chaos in his fights. Whether he wins or loses, he does it in very emphatic fashion. So he's taking on Matthew Semelsberger. And then Joachim Silva is taking on a former PFL champion, actually, Rick Glenn. That should be a good fight as well. So, again, there's interesting fights. There could be a few guys there in this card who one day are top 10, top 5 guys. It's not a name-rich card. That's the way to describe Saturday's fight. But you got the Korean fucking zombie. That's all you need.
Because it's not a name rich card, you know what that means?
The fights deliver.
It's going to be a fantastic night of fights. That is the UFC's MO, whether they know it or not. We're not going to give you a good name card. It's going to be on. You're going to watch, and it's going to be an absolute blast.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. Your picks on inthefight.net and the social at ITF show. Did I tell you we have t-shirts available?
You may have.
TKO store, TEEKOstore.com for In the Fight merch. Also, a variety of other fighters. Go there, check it out. Buy a shirt, support us, support fighters worldwide. I got to get myself that Anson Inouye shirt. I've been saying it. I just got to do it now.
Very, very interesting interview, Anson Inouye. Talks about some of the inner workings of Pride. And also he also talks about his tertiary involvement with the Yakuza over in Japan. Very interesting guy.
Where was this interview? I missed this.
He was once, this one of them was on Joe Rogan back.
I'm going to have to make a phone call here.
Back in the day.
To our guys at TKO store.
And then I forget where the other one was, but he's also Like, he and Eddie Bravo, because one time Pride offered Eddie Bravo a fight, even though he didn't take it. And Eddie Bravo showed in the contract where it literally explicitly said, we will not test for steroids. So now you know why all of the Pride fighters had difficulty transitioning to the UFC.
Exactly. Speaking of transitioning, let's transition from combat sports to the world of pro wrestling. A lot has been going on. I think that we just need to touch on some things to close out this here program.
Ooh, yeah!
Thank you, Macho. Let's start for our friends in the UK. Season one, and it's the first half of the season of Dark Side of the Ring has concluded. It concluded with an episode on the Dynamite Kid. Now, Dynamite Kid, did it change your view of the kid? Now, I had read Bret Hart's book, so I kind of knew a little bit about it. When I was first going to train to be a wrestler, one of the guy that Derek, who big Brad Wolf, who we were our dreams were to tag team together and go to Japan as the new Can-Am Connection. That was our dream, and then it didn't happen. My fault. But he gave me the book. He gave me Dynamite Kid's book, which I read in 2001. And I'm like, and Kid talked about how he would inject Davey Boy Smith with milk, telling him it was steroids. Like, he was an asshole. Did this episode change your outlook on Dynamite Kid?
It didn't, because you had read or heard in other podcasts or through books, the domestic violence, you didn't hear in detail what the domestic violence incidents were, but it was sort of talked about in a, you know, sort of in a certain manner where you knew it existed. So I always, when thinking about the Dynamite Kid, had that in the back of my mind, but I always, it's like, look, it's just like in music, separating the art from the artist kind of thing. And the art that he produced in the ring, I've always, you know, his matches with Tiger Mask, whether in Japan, whether at the Garden, some of the greatest matches of all time. And he is truly, yeah. And Dave Meltzer, I think, correctly points it out in the documentary, is the guy who influenced the next generation of wrestling. And so you appreciate that. Frankly, I wish there was, even though I don't want to overlook the negative things he did in his life, I wish there was a documentary really detailing more of the wrestling aspect of his life.
I would agree with you. And they had Lance Storm on there, who, I'm a huge Lance Storm guy. And yeah, obviously Lance Storm was one of those guys that was influenced by Dynamite Kid. He says it. But yeah, they kind of went away from that. And this is another episode of Dark Side where I think they do a great job. I felt like it could have been, I needed another hour. You know,
I think you could have done an hour of the wrestling than an hour.
Yeah.
Of the,
like, yeah. I needed another hour of him where it was maybe that split it, wrestling and the other stuff, because there's a whole literal generation of guys that are influential still. Your Lance Storms, your Chris Jerichos, all these guys that said, Mick Foley talked about it. I mean, that this was the guy they wanted to be. As a short, you know, I'm maybe 6 foot. That was the type of hit the Benoits, right? I mean, this influenced the whole era. Yeah, I thought it was really well done. I don't remember hearing the domestic violence to that extent. Maybe I just had forgotten about it. Like, I don't even remember his ex-wife going into that interview with CNN after the whole Benoit thing. I don't remember it.
So I remember people alluding to it, like, say, issues at home kind of thing. So I sort of was expecting it, I guess. And you know, I think the thing is, look, these documentaries are really more about the negative implications outside the ring, or sometimes it occurs inside the ring, but it's about the negative aspects of these people's lives. So that's why that, you know, I mean, yes, it was like there was 15 minutes devoted to the whole Rougeau thing. By the way, why wasn't Mark interviewed?
Maybe he didn't want to be.
I always thought it was Mark that hit him, not Jacques. Because Mark was the badass.
I guess it was. Well, I think that was the point. I think it was because it was Jacques they went after the quote-unquote weaker one.
Yeah. Because I think Mark was the tough. He still works. Doesn't he still work for WWE as one of the French table guys?
Yeah, he might. He might.
And that's probably why.
So I enjoyed it. I thought it was really well done. I can't wait till they do the breakdown of uncensored, or after the season where they sit down with Conrad Thompson from the ECW arena, which is, by the way, where they're filming all these scenes.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, but I'm watching something. I'm like, I mean, it looks familiar. Like they caught something that I recognize. I'm like, holy shit, they're filming that. They filmed this in South Philly. If I would have known that.
You should try to be an extra.
I would have stalked the hell out of that thing. I really would have.
Yeah.
Looking forward to what they have coming up. We'll do a whole preview of the second half of the season 3 when we get there in the fall. I was going to go NXT here first, but I think we got to stick with AEW because this is big news. All Elite Wrestling, they're going back out on the road first. That is obviously, we've discussed that. But they have booked New York City. And I'm not talking the New York City metro area like a lot of places do, right? Oh, we're coming to New York. The NWA used to do it. We're coming to New York. Where are they going? They're going to the Brendan Byrne Arena, or they're going out on Long Island to Uniondale. No, no, no. AEW is going to New York City. They're going to Queens. They're going to Arthur Ashe Stadium. 23,000 seats. What do you make of that?
First, I got to tell you, I'm amazed.
Cool venue, by the way.
It's a very interesting venue. And I'm not saying this as like an uppity tennis person, because I'm not a tennis person. But just knowing the sport of tennis, I'm amazed that they've allowed a wrestling company to rent out that venue.
So I got to do the research on it because I was thinking the same thing. Like, why hasn't anybody done it yet, right?
Yeah.
Now, it used to be open. It used to have no roof. Now it has a roof. They've enclosed it. Why hasn't anyone done it yet? There has to be a reason. And that was my exact thought, because we're tennis snobs. I feel like the U.S. Open airs on TNT or Turner's networks. I could be wrong.
I don't think it does.
So that was my initial
thought. It may have back in the day.
My initial thought was there was some connection there as to why they were doing it. Tony Khan came out. I guess he was talking with Chris Jericho and explained it. He said, we could have gone to the Garden if we wanted to. We could have paid for it. We could have went to Brooklyn if we wanted to. We could have paid for it. But we wanted to be different. And look, Queens has a very, very rich history with rabid wrestling fans, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
New York City, it's Hammerstein. It's the Manhattan Center for the lunatic fan base, which I am a part of. So
yeah.
I'm not criticizing them. I'm a part of it. It's the Elks Lodge in Queens. Now they're going to this venue. It's the largest, now that it's has a roof, it is the largest indoor arena in New York City. So if they pack that thing full, it's going to be 23,000. They can say they're outdrawing WWE in New York City.
And by the way, I mean, I think it's the largest tennis stadium in the world. So you think about like Madison Square Garden or any arena, the floor is the size of at least a basketball court, but typically the size of an entire hockey rink it's a larger area. This is only the size of a tennis court. This is going to be so loud.
Yeah, it's vertical. Like when
it's vertical.
It's 23,000 people vertical.
Straight up. Yeah.
Yeah. The New York, the WNBA team, I don't know if they were Liberty. At one point, they did an exhibition outdoor game when there was no roof at this venue.
Yeah.
I always thought it would be a cool place. Like in my mind, like when I'm doing fantasy booking, I would have done a SummerSlam there because it's not a lot of people. But it's outside, and it would give you that cool environment. now it has this translucent roof. Like, this could be a home run for AEW.
See, so from a design standpoint, I would do away with any kind of set because it would take away too many sections down low.
Oh, no, no. You got.
I would literally just do old school, come out where the tennis players come out, right to the ring.
Yes.
You know, yeah, old school. And it's going to be so unbelievably loud. That's what I'm most excited to see.
I agree with you. I hope this works out the way that a lot of people think it's going to work out for AEW. They're outselling WWE at the gate right now.
Yeah.
This is their New York City debut. It's their return to the Northeast. People will travel. I've talked to people from our area, Philadelphia, who have already said, yeah, I might go there. And if they're smart, they ignore the rest of our area for a little bit. They don't go to Philly. They don't go to Boston. They don't reschedule Jersey. They say, all right, we're going to let this be New York City for a little bit, and we're going to let the fan base go there. Because we people will travel. I've thought about it. It's not too hard to get up there.
No, not at all.
If it works out for them, that could be their home, and a pay-per-view in a place like that, man, that's just cool. It's a cool venue.
Yeah, very cool venue. And I can't imagine how loud it's going to be. It's loud with tennis fans, and tennis fans aren't loud.
Right, and they're not drunk lunatics.
Yeah, they're not wrestling. They're not rabid wrestling fans.
Right, exactly. It's
a different level, yeah.
I hope that they're smart. I hope they take advantage of this situation and book a mega card. They're already booking it as such. It's September 22nd, so we'll see. Real quick, let's touch on NXT. NXT, I think, is turning the switch back on. They are allowing more fans into the Capitol Wrestling Complex, which makes for a better environment. They had In Your House last weekend, which I love them. I love NXT bringing back the old retro events. They're bringing back the Great American Bash. They do justice to it. Triple H does justice to it. What was it like to you watching the show with people there?
It was nice. Yeah, it was... You're getting back to normal. Look, I think in general, watching NXT, I'm not wishing death upon anyone here. I think you're seeing the future of what semblances of what the WWE is going to look like once Vince McMahon is gone, because it's clear that unless they just sell out, but you know, it's clear that Vince McMahon is the one really the main culprit in holding back Raw and SmackDown. And NXT, I think, is, though NXT is not what it was, I think they lost their way a little bit
Wednesday
Night War. Yeah.
It's coming back.
They're returning to that. Yes.
Because Samoa Joe returning, yes. And it looks like maybe in the long run, he's going to be cleared. He's getting physical with guys. So they're building towards that. The rumor was that as soon as Samoa Joe was released, Triple H was like, what the hell? I got to work on getting him back. And now here he is. He's back as the enforcer for William Regal.
Yeah.
I feel like they're starting to go back to the formula that worked for them. And if that's the way they're going to do things, I want to see Daniel Bryan there. I want to see these guys I want to see a Kevin Owens. I want to see all those guys that made that something and bringing it back to what it was.
Yeah, and you know, Sami Zayn,
a
lot of those guys. Yeah, it's amazing. And then you're going to completely deplete the other two rosters
who can
wrestle.
You won't do it for SmackDown though. SmackDown's its own animal that I think is doing well. Raw, forget it. Listen, we have about 30 seconds here in the show. They're bringing back the Great American Bash.
Yeah.
Do you, when you bring it back and they're doing these retro sets, do you bring back the silver streamers and all that stuff like they used to do at the Baltimore Arena for WCW? Or do you do it the WWE type of way, which was a little bit more Top Gun-ish?
I go old school. You know me. Go if you can pay homage to the NWA era. Do it. And bring back the Triple Tower of Doom.
Well, they can't. They're in a warehouse.
Well, yeah.
5 seconds. What event do you bring back from the past that they haven't done yet?
Super Brawl.
There you go. Sportinarium.com, InTheFight.net, Michael's Glass, TKO Store, The Paul's Table. We'll catch you later.